Today on Real Radio.
Why do we put up with doubt? You know what? Doubt has a very sick, twisted, perverse comfort to it, but the comfort is empty and vain. Doubt never disappoints. You want to know why? Because doubt doesn't expect anything to happen. Christian, with your argument and struggle with doubt, you need to get it out of your life with the Word of God, because you know what? You'll start to comfort doubt in your life and let it reside there. And this is what will happen. Because doubt will never disappoint, here's the reason why. What it does is it justifies everything.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're in a mini-series taken from Luke 7 and verses 18 through 35. The passage contains the words of the Messiah speaking of his cousin, John the Baptist, in favorable terms. Yet, like most other individuals we read of in Scripture, John the Baptist fell short on faith from time to time. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Why Do We Struggle with Doubt?
Listen, after listening to John the Baptist's message, you want Jesus to come quick. In fact, remember John's baptizing, people are coming, they're confessing their sins, he's baptizing them. And for example, a Roman centurion comes out there and he says, prophet, teacher, what would you have me to do? And he says, don't extract or don't use your authority unwisely. Be kind to people. You can almost see that centurion say, aye, captain, I agree. People were agreeing with John, from religious leaders to rulers to common people, if they were listening. They understood something. When John said this, by the way, bring forth fruit worthy of your repentance, for the kingdom of God is coming and he's going to bring fire and judgment. I mean, it was a fiery message. And people went, yikes! And they came and they confessed their sins and they were baptized in water. They weren't converted to Christianity. They weren't saved. There was nothing that was done for them in the sense of recording their place in heaven. What happened was they admitted publicly that they needed a Savior. That's why John's ministry was the baptism of repentance. It was the people agreed that they needed God. But the scribes and the Pharisees, when they came, what did they do? They stood back in the shadows and they didn't get into the water. They didn't even know how to deal with John. So John's preaching, John's teaching, John's doing what John's doing, and he speaks out about Herod because Herod was sleeping with his brother's wife, Herod the Tetrarch. And John the Baptist said, it's not right for you to sleep with your brother's wife. He probably said it more insane than that, you know, because he had camel's fur on. Can you imagine? They didn't even wear that then. It's not something they did 2,000 years ago. They hadn't done that for about 3,000 years. And then only prophets of God. John shows up. Can you imagine somebody showing up like in a revolutionary costume right now this morning? You say, what's with that guy? Is he like reenacting something? John shows up with this, you know, kind of like Fred and Barney Flintstone outfit on. And he's a Nazarite, so he's never had his hair cut. And he's Jewish, so there's wave to his hair. It's not straight. Can you imagine what he looked like? I mean, he looked like, you know, somebody from the 70s or 60s from Frisco. And he says, it's not right for you to be sleeping with your brother's wife. And for that, the Bible says, Herod had him arrested and they cut off John's head to silence him. Before that happened, John was doubting. He's in prison now. He's saying, come on, Jesus, let's go. I'm announcing the kingdom. You're the one. I know you're the one. Let's go. Let's get the show on the road. You were to come preach and heal and to raise the dead and do all these things. And remember, set liberty to those who are what? Bound. Come on, Jesus. John's in prison. You and I can be in prison by fear, by doubt, pain, suffering. Jesus, come on, where are you? He's there. He's with you. It's not happening our way. It's not happening the way I want it to happen. Doubt will say, God must have abandoned you. Doubt begins to insert into your life and mine why we can't do thus and so. Why it cannot be this way for us. Doubt begins ever so softly and quietly to breed within us an insecurity that what God says is great and true. We'll all attest to that, but not for me. See, doubt comes natural to us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How do we combat doubt? More and more Bible. I'm going to say something. I have no agenda. I'm not grinding some axe on some wheel. I'm just going to say it because it's true in my life. And because it's true in my life, I'm going to share it with you, and maybe it's true in your life. God is constantly, and has for the last 30 years, almost 30 years in my life as a Christian, constantly telling me, Jack, put down that book and pick up my Bible. I can be reading a great Christian book, and God will say, put it down. When I'm going, oh my good, oh great, oh wow, this is a, I love this book, you know, by John Wolverett or by whoever. When I get too excited about the book, man, this is great stuff. Where's my highlighter? Oh boy, God will always say, Jack, put down that book and pick up my book. You say, are you kidding me? I'm not kidding you. I'll be listening to a great Christian CD. I'll be singing in my car alone at the top of my lungs. Okay? And I'll hear the Lord say, turn it off and talk to me. I'll take a walk in the morning, and I'm walking through where I live on a walk. And the Lord will say, think about me. Now, I don't mean he says it and I hear the tree start shaking. Jack, think of me. I don't hear that. It's a pulse in my heart. It's in my head. Jack, think of me. Yes, Lord. And I have to fight to not wander back to what I want to do. And what I want to do can even be a good thing to do, but it's not the important thing to do. We wander from God. Sadly, tragically, it's natural. But listen, don't tell me you have a temper because you're Irish. Irish are sinners, just like I have a lot of Portuguese blood in me, and we have tempers. We have tempers. Okay, well, you know, that's you guys. I'm this way. I'm stubborn. I'm German. I have some German blood in me, too. You think God says, you know what, you guys, I really want you guys to stop being stubborn and be soft and tender toward me, but these guys over here, they don't have to because they're Germans. God doesn't think like that. That doesn't count. He doesn't say, well, you know, you get a pass because you're Puerto Rican and you're hot-blooded. And you're, you know? No. These things that we have go on in our lives, we can say, well, you know, everybody doubts. Yes, everybody doubts, but listen, to doubt God is a sin. It's not trust him. It's to accuse him of something that's not true. Listen to this, verse 22. Jesus answered and said to these two men that are making inquiry for John, go tell John the things that you've seen and heard. Why did he say that? Because when these two inquirers came, it appears in the scripture here in Luke 7 that Jesus did this flurry of miracles. It's almost like a tornado happened. It formed right over where he was standing. And he's just raising the dead, healing the sick, opening the eyes of the blind. And wham! Now, look, you two guys, go tell John the things that you... And this is code talk. This is insider information. Jesus says, go tell John the things that you see and hear. That's supposed to mean something to John. If we were doing a deep Bible study here, we would ask the question, why would that be significant? Why would it be important? Why is that the answer to John's question? Because John's asking a very important question. Jesus, are you the Messiah of the world? Are you he? Or do we look for someone else? Are you like a forerunner of the Messiah? Jesus, I'm having doubts. You guys have to remember, was not John the Baptist filled with the Holy Spirit inside the womb before he was even born? Was he not a prophet of God from birth? Is not Jesus himself even saying there's been none greater in all the history of man born of women than John? He's the greatest of all prophets. That's a tall statement. Jesus says John is greater than Jeremiah. What made him greater? His character? It certainly wasn't his clothes or his hairdo. What made him greater? It was his ministry. The others, not to put them down at all, by no means, they're holy, wonderful men used by God. They announced certain things, but it was given to John to introduce the Messiah to the world, literally. By his office, he was the greatest. By his office, Bible students, he was the last prophet on earth of the Old Testament. John was the final one. The New Testament was about to be born. So Jesus says, go tell him the things that you've seen and heard. And here it is. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor of the gospel preach to them. This is the code. There's over 300 verses, so it's right small. Okay, I'm kidding. I'll give you three out of the 300. This is what the Bible says, and this is how you can know that Jesus is the one. Jesus is saying to John, judge me according to what the scriptures say. So church, here you go. How will we recognize the Messiah? Number one, Isaiah 35, verses 5 and 6. When he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind, unstop or unplug the ears of the deaf, and the lame will leap like a deer, and those who cannot speak will shout and sing. Okay, whoever the Messiah is, whoever's right, whoever has the right message, this is one of the fulfillments that he must perform. He's got to do these miracles recorded in Isaiah 35. Question, did Jesus do that? Yes, he did. And he's telling these guys, go tell John. Thank John. Listen, church, grab this. Are you guys awake? Yes. Grab this. Regarding doubt, use your head. Don't use your emotions because they're going to rip you off every time. John was feeling lost and abandoned because things weren't happening his way. He didn't understand. He didn't have 2,000 years of Bible study like you and I have. Where are you, Jesus? Come on. Set at liberty those that are captive. I'm in prison. The code answer is, what do you hear and what do you see? The gospel is preached, the blind are seen, the lame are walking. John, what does your Bible say? Church, listen. Susie, Betty, Karen, Mike, what does your Bible say? What does your Bible answer the situation you're in right now? What does it say? That's what you go with. Yeah, but Jack, I just feel totally alone. You're not alone. Yeah, but you know what? Stop saying, yeah, but. What does the word say? Number two, under this point, Isaiah 29:18 says, in that day the deaf shall hear the words of the book, that is the Bible, and the eyes of the blind shall see, and out of obscurity and out of darkness they shall behold. That was happening. John, what's going on? You know your Bible. John, judge me according to the Bible. Church, judge Jesus according to the Bible. Judge Joseph Smith according to the Bible. Judge Pastor Jack according to the Bible. Judge, you name them, according to the Bible. Judge Sun Young Moon according to the Bible. Let the word of Paul the Apostle said in Acts chapter 11, don't judge me based upon what I might do. Judge what I say against the Bible to see if it's true. Acts 17:11. This is very critical to slaying doubt in our lives. And then Isaiah 61, which was the actually opening verse of Jesus' ministry. Isaiah 61 is another proof of the Messiahship. Whoever it is, the Spirit of the Lord God has to be upon him, because it says the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. Jesus did that. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He's still doing that. To proclaim the liberty to the captives and opening the prison of those who are bound. The gospel message. What does the evidence say, John, about me? Number two in our study, how do we, or why do we, struggle with doubt? Because doubt won't disappoint. Now, can you write that down? I should have put a little asterisk up there or something. Because doubt won't disappoint, that's a sarcasm. I'm being sarcastic with you right now. See, doubt, in fact, the other day, I had to go get new house keys made for the house, keys. And I haven't had keys made for a house in a long time. And when you go now, you can pick, you can have a gold key, you can have a silver key or whatever, you know, kind. You can have a black key, you can have a green key. Well, now they have Disney keys. And so I looked at that and I thought, well, my girls, they love Disneyland and Rebecca loves Winnie the Pooh and they got a Winnie the Pooh key. So I got her a Winnie the Pooh key. And Ashley likes Minnie Mouse, so she got a Minnie Mouse key. And Lisa likes a Minnie Mouse, she got a Minnie Mouse key. And I got my own key. And I thought, you know what? Pooh is really cool, but they didn't have a Tigger key. I would have gotten a Tigger key. But I thought, on Sunday, I'm one way, and on Monday, I'm another way. On Monday, I'm more like Tigger. It's my day off. And I'm very bouncy, 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 fun, 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 fun. But on Sundays, I can be very Eeyore-like. And they had an Eeyore key. And so when I look at that, it kind of makes me laugh because I shouldn't be like an Eeyore from time to time. But then I thought, all of us struggle with being like an Eeyore from time to time. And the reason why, it hit me, because doubt won't disappoint. You know what? If we're doubting, how many of you have seen The Adventures of Winnie the Pooh? Raise your hand. The rest of you need to get saved and watch it. Christopher Robin and Winnie the Pooh and Piglet and all those guys, they're trying to say, oh boy, let's go. We're going to have fun today. And there's Eeyore. I doubt it. It's gonna rain. There's no hope for us. We're probably gonna die. He's just a bummer. Nobody wants to be around him. Everybody puts up with him. Why do we put up with doubt? You know what? Doubt has a very sick, twisted, perverse comfort to it, but the comfort is empty and vain. Doubt never disappoints. You wanna know why? Because doubt doesn't expect anything to happen. Christian, with your argument and struggle with doubt, you need to get it out of your life with the Word of God, because you know what? You'll start to comfort doubt in your life and let it reside there. And this is what will happen. Because doubt will never disappoint, here's the reason why. What it does is it justifies everything. Doubt just justifies everything. Well, a lot of people do it. I'll never be different. That won't happen in my life. And you begin to think like that until you begin to live like that. You say things like, someone else can do this better. When the church has a need, like Family Fest coming up, you're thinking, well, the person next to me, they'll probably buy all the candy. They'll buy the 4 tons of candy that we need. Did you know the person sitting next to you that you think's thinking that thought is thinking about the person next to them thinking that thought until the thought starts over here and goes all the way over here and we have no candy? Did you know that's what happens? It's absolutely true. We say, sign up and show up or come to this or do that. And you're thinking, don't tell me you're not thinking this because I think the same thing. You know what? They don't need me. Did you hear that? You hear how common that is? You know what? Oh, I bet so many people are going to show up for that. I don't need to come. You have begun to let doubt reside in your life. You've justified it, and now it's just part of your living. And you don't even recognize it. This is a dangerous thing, because if you leave that alone, it will lead eventually to unbelief. That's a very serious issue. Now, why do we struggle with doubt? Because doubt won't disappoint. And the truth of the matter is, boy, I don't know how to say this gently. I've known too many Christians. Lisa and I have known too many Christians in our lives. When I say Christians, I have to say, quote, Christians. They look just like you and I. for years, you guys, and because something came into their life and they got disappointed, you know what they did? They threw down their toys. It didn't go their way. They threw it down. They stuck out their chin. And they said, you know what? I'm out of here. Oh, I don't mean here. And I don't mean there. I don't mean anywhere. They say to God, you know what? I really thought that she was the one. I thought we were going to get married. I even told my friends. I wanted her. And now she's gone. We're not going to get married. I'm out of here. You know what? When difficulties arise, Jesus said, beware. When difficulties come and trials come, watch out. Because when Jesus talked about the sower and the seed casting the word out into the hearts of people, the Bible tells us, by the way, in Matthew 13, you can read it later. I'll paraphrase it. Verses 18 to 23. Jesus warned about that. He said that there'll be those who receive the word, but it doesn't do anything. And then there are those who receive the word and they continue for a while. We don't know what that means, by the way. The word a while. Did you know that? There's theologians still sitting right now in towers trying to figure out, what does that word mean? We don't know what it means. Nobody knows. Does it mean 3 weeks? They'll hear the Bible. They'll come forward. They'll come at the crusade, or they'll come at the outreach, or they'll come to church. They'll make a profession of faith, and they continue for a while. The thing is, we don't know how long that means. Does it mean 3 weeks, 3 years, 30 years? Does it mean 100 years? We don't know. But whatever happens, we know. It says, but in time, they become disappointed or discouraged when persecution or difficulties arise. And they turn away from God. And what they wind up saying is, Jesus, you didn't do it the way I wanted. And you give up on God. You walk out on God. It didn't happen the way I thought it was going to happen. And you get disappointed. And then, listen, you start thinking, well, that's it. And you'll claim to know God, but you're living your life punishing God. And I got news for you. You're not punishing him. You're ruining your life. And if you let that doubt continue on in that bitterness, you will wind up being filled with unbelief. And you will wind up being a statistic. One who was around the things of God, but you were never born again. You were religious, but in the end, you had no relationship with God. Watch out. I've seen this happen too many times. Church, listen, wake up. That's why you and I have trials and difficulties in life. Listen, isn't God good? You say, well, that's why I'm not a Christian. I don't want trials and difficulties. No, 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 no. Read the fine print. First of all, everyone has difficulties, trials in life. Here's the thing. If you're a non-Christian, those difficulties, God is trying to use them to draw you to God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a mini-series called Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? It's taken from Luke 7 and verses 18 through 35. Part of our journey through this New Testament narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now again, this is a mini-series, and it's available on DVD for your contribution to the outreach of Real Radio of any amount. So whether you call, click, or write, just ask for it by title. Why do we struggle with doubt? Why do we struggle with doubt? More than one way to get in touch with us, beginning with our website. You can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or call us. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our address, Real Radio. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.